This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
One thing that I've noticed, especially like for a guy like you who used to have such like a negative perspective on women per se, because of, you know, everything that you've been through, and now you're somebody who's about to get married. When was the last time you did one of these podcasts?
Let's see.
It was like
2020.
Yeah, it was like one of the very first episodes that we ever did.
I did about three or four, right?
Yeah, you did it. Yeah. I couldn't remember how many you did, but it was like literally when we first started it.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting here thinking, I was like, when was the last time?
Now we go out and girls are stopping you like, hey, my.
That was fucking kind of surreal because.
That was cool for me to see.
That was pretty cool for me to even feel. Like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, damn, like, cool.
Dude, I got. Oh my God, Troy, I was at Rolling Loud. I went with one of my clients.
This year?
Yeah, I went with one of my clients, and we're waiting in like the VIP line to get to like the artist entrance.
Uh-huh.
And the girl's like, oh my God. I'm thinking they're talking about the artist that I'm with.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone turns around, she goes, Troy.
Wow.
I'm like, wow.
When was the last time you heard that?
At least a year. I get it once in a great while, but.
Yeah, well, we used to get it a ton when we would go to the cities because like almost like they were expecting us to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like hot on everybody's mind at that time.
We tore it up for years, man.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
Shit.
But she was like, oh, it's so cool. Like, I know your name's AJ. I still follow you. And like, congratulations on your engagement and everything, you know?
Oh, she even knew about all that?
I mean, she's still a fan.
That's awesome, dude.
Now you got girls coming up to you and you're popular for this now. Look at this.
I know, that's kind of crazy because I literally never leave this place.
I've got to come grab him out.
You're the only one that like kind of convinces me. You know how to convince me though. That's, you're slick about it. You know how
I'm
to,
actually
like,
not doing it and like, let's go get fucked up.
I know.
It's good for you, bro.
I know it is. That's why I almost don't even fight you on it or like.
Makes me look better too. But I've got a friend that can keep up, you know?
Yeah. But fucking Happy New Year. What did you do for New Year's?
New Year's.
With the wifey?
With the wifey. We went to Puerto Vallarta.
Shit.
Just relax, man. We went to an all-inclusive resort.
Just you and her?
Mm-hmm. February, I went to Punta Cana.
Last year?
Yeah, last year. Sorry.
Yep.
2021. Mm-hmm. Actually met up with Matt.
Yeah, I remember
Big
that.
Max.
Big Max.
Spent time with him and his family. It was cool.
He's married now, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Married, he's got four kids.
Well,
not his, but
his wife's kids.
His wife's kids. That's great kids. They're great. They're awesome.
That's so crazy to me, though. The more I think about it, you, Max, Rome.
Travis is married to his dog.
He got a kid.
Right.
But you, like, were kind of surprising to me because, like, I don't know, for whatever reason, you just, like, pulling the trigger, getting engaged. You know, that was, like, I was like, oh,
it
shit.
It was like, I thought, like, I'm so close with her. We're like best friends, you know?
Right.
I thought, I'm just going to whip this ring out and it's going to be, you know, it's not. It's so much emotion. You're like, it came up my neck into my face and I'm like, whoa. Like, I've literally like blacked out. Took her up to this rock in Laguna Beach. I'm overlooking the ocean and I'm looking out and I literally blacked out. With emotion, like, and I'm looking at her, and that's all I saw was like her eyes, like, huge. It was mm-hmm. It was a crazy feeling.
Yeah, man. What, dude? So, like, what led you to that?
I mean, I knew I was gonna do it.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
When did you know?
It's really strange. I'd probably say like 6 months into everything. Mm-hmm. I was really upgrading my life as we started dating, and she just kept keeping up and pushing me, and then I'd push her back.
Mm.
And I was ready for a relationship for the first time.
Like a
truly.
Like
yeah, like an adult relationship. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I wasn't like okay, I'm a man now. I moved here, you know, what was I, 30 years old? I think, 30 years old. You know what happens when you turn 30, you're kind of like,
yeah,
something about that number, it just makes you.
What am I doing?
Yeah, what am I doing?
Like, what? Yeah.
We never know what we're doing, really.
It makes you really think about, okay, what? Let me get serious. Okay, the 20s are over. The fun's over. Let me figure out what.
I wouldn't say the fun's over because I came out here single. I was having fun.
Right.
You know, for sure. But I got to spend time with myself.
Mm.
And I wasn't, like, usually when I was single, I was like, you know, 10 girls I'm talking to at once type of thing. It was always easy for me since I've been a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was an athlete in college.
You're right.
You know, jumped into bodybuilding and modeling and then went into, you know, Magic Man and whatever.
Right.
It was, I'm not going to say wasting my time, but I was always, I was always like not chasing a relationship. I always wanted girls. Hence why I kind of attracted becoming a.
Right. So when you said you spent time with yourself.
Yeah. I just for the first time didn't go out like I used to and go, I need to find girls. Like I was really just
going.
Enjoying time with my friends, not really thinking about it, letting it come natural.
Right.
You know, I spent a lot of time alone, did a lot of like reading and researching on, you know, like YouTubing stuff and learning new skills. And I don't know, I was at a point where.
Just over it all?
Yeah. But I wasn't looking for a girlfriend.
Your priorities shifted.
Yeah.
Basically. Yep. It sounds like.
Yeah, and then I saw her walking down the stairs at the W, you know. Yeah,
I remember you were recording like.
It's really strange. It was just like an immediate, I want like that. I'd want something like that, I told myself.
Mm.
And then I started recording her. I tagged the W. Obviously didn't know her yet, but.
Right.
She ended up seeing that footage and then messaging me and hit me back on the DMs.
Yeah, so, she's like, hey, that's me.
Yep, hey, that's me. And then. I bugged her for a couple of weeks to hang out and then, yeah. Yeah, and it's weird because we really, I hadn't met her yet, but we were like voice noting back and forth and I heard her Australian accent and I was like, dang, she's a, you know, well-established professional dancer out here for 10 years. Or sorry, at that point it was like 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just like, man, I can't wait to meet her. Obviously to hook up because whatever.
That's
my style. But.
You guys were getting to know each other with the voice notes and whatnot.
I was, but come to find out, she was really just trying to hook up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was her on her chicaterous ways, eyeing the boy toy.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about her is she wasn't someone to try to find a boyfriend. Like, she's so busy that she would, like, thanks, see you later kind of person.
Yeah.
Which I can't say I've ever been with anyone like that either. So it kind of matched my...
Your energy?
It matched my energy for sure. And I'm not going to say I didn't know how to handle it because I obviously... got her to say yes, but
right. What made you want to come back on the podcast, dude? Because like, it's funny, you texted me randomly and you're like, dude, I just watched your last episode.
Well, I was in Puerto Vallarta and Tanya passed out at like 10 p.m and I was awake. I was watching some NBA highlights, catching up, and then I was like, one of the episodes popped up on the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
On my YouTube, and it's weird because I never watched them on there, but it popped up somehow. And I watched the last one that you and Rome did of last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, Miles sounds good. Rome sounds great too, but I was like, man, you sound good.
One thing you said to me is like, you sound like a real podcaster now.
Yeah.
I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, bro.
And then you're like, hey, man, I'm down to hop on the pod, bro.
Well, I was listening to the... you know, the conversations you guys are having. And I'm like,
yeah.
Did like, we talk when I was in Mexico? Maybe.
Yeah, you were out in Mexico. And I was like, yeah, just let's hop on a call for 10 minutes and, you know, kind of, because I always want to like.
I was vibing for
if
sure.
If we're going to talk about anything, I want to at least have it be something that's going to, you know,
right.
Give people perspective or give them a better understanding of somebody, you know what I mean? Like
something
guys
that can help them. Or
exactly. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. to the Strip Down Podcast. We got a very special guest here today. He used to tour with me in Rome. We got some interesting conversation for y'all. But before we get into that, I do want to welcome everybody who might be new here. Welcome to the Strip Down Podcast, where we just try to keep it as transparent and real with y'all as possible. So ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time here, hit that subscribe button. I also want to encourage y'all to follow us over on Instagram and TikTok.
Hey, your lives are popping, man.
It's a really good time. It's fun.
I've jumped on a couple lives. They're popping.
We have a lot of fun over there.
A lot of my fiance's friends, they'll post him up. And clips. Then Tanya's like, that's my fiance's good friend, best friend, you know?
Yeah, it's so funny. So we do those every week over on Instagram if you want to follow us over there at Strip Down Podcast. One thing I also like to do is give some shout outs to a bunch of the followers that be showing love online, that be sharing our stories, that be sharing our reels or TikToks or in the comment section, just to show some love back, show some appreciation for all the support that y'all be showing us. So I got a few names here I want to shout out. So first and foremost, I want to give a shout out to our YouTube fam, Diana Segovia and Martha Alvarez. And then from Instagram, we got Lindsay Not Lohan.
Lindsay Not Lohan.
And Christine Capella. Shout out to y'all. I see y'all. And on TikTok, I want to give a shout out to It's Amber OK and Teej122. That's TEEJE122. She tagged me in a TikTok where she was wearing some of our new merch that we just came out with.
You got any double X's for me?
I'm going to order you some stuff. I was just actually thinking about that before you got here. We got this whole new merch line, by the way. Everything that y'all been asking us for. Go check that out if you haven't got chance yet. There is a promo code in the description of the episode. You guys are going to like the stuff. It's all directly from what they've been asking me about. And that's a way to support your boys. And ladies and gentlemen, we're about to get into some interesting topics here today, because you actually have like a really interesting story, and it all came back to me after we had that conversation. You brought up something which I remember you telling me this a while ago, and I completely forgot about it.
Oh, the Christian Grey?
Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we say Christian Grey, we're talking about like almost the opposite.
No, the reason why he was who he was is because.
That's right.
When he was young, you know.
Oh, I didn't even. I can't.
Do you remember that part of the movie when the older lady?
I forgot all about that until you just said it.
The pretty older lady like was reminding him that when he was a kid, she took advantage of him.
Gotcha.
You know?
So that similar situation is something that you went through?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
I was 14. To keep under consideration, when I was 14, I was built like a little man already, practicing with the varsity players on the basketball team and stuff. Like, I was like a little man already,
mm-hmm.
but I was 14.
Right.
You know?
So.
Yeah, I was. I was a kid I went to high school with. His, we would always, like, this kid always would have parties at his house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kids drinking at 13, 14, 15 years old, you can imagine. Like, you probably did it too, maybe.
Shit,
the
drinking
part.
Yeah, not like that, though. Fuck.
End of the night comes around, and, you know, this kid's mom, that was my friend, you know, straight up came on to me and
really? Yeah,
took me in the bathroom, laid me down.
What was like kind of going through your head? Like,
it was kind of like, I really didn't know. Like, I can, like, maybe the first time you had sex, you were probably doing it, but I was just laying there like, what's going on? Whoa, this feels good. You know?
Right.
So, you know, obviously it blew my mind. It was the first time I had sex with somebody. And then, you know, I actually kept it to myself, though, because I was so scared. I was dead scared to have anyone find out. I, like, this kid was in the same middle school as me. Like, if anyone found out, you know. But it kept going on for, like, a year.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I would go over to his house, and he'd fall asleep.
Yeah. Oh wow, dude! I didn't realize. I thought it was kind of almost like one of those things.
She'd call my parents' house to get a hold of me, like it was about my friend. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't
plan realize, stuff.
I didn't realize all that, dude. I thought it was like kind of one of those one-time things, and then, but wow.
Not a year, maybe like 6 months.
But like at that
early 14, though, I just obviously I look back as a 33-year-old, and I'm like, if someone did that to my son, I'd be upset.
Right.
It's really wrong, you know?
Right.
And yeah, it definitely affected me in many ways.
That's kind of what I was like curious about, because when you brought it up, you also followed that up with like, dude, it kind of turned me into like a womanizer. And I was like,
yeah, okay. I can say subconsciously it made me that way, but like, what the hell did I know at 14?
Right. Like, how do you think it affected you?
I mean, when I started becoming old enough, it deep down, it made me like not respect women as much. It's like this good friend of mine's mom did this to me. I know how women are in that sense. Like it made me like not trust women. Probably. I can't really remember, you know, that's a long time ago, but like,
right. People, it makes you lose that trust.
Yeah. So I think I've always had trust issues.
You use that experience as like your way of painting, you know,
everybody.
You know what's crazy as well, though, is like this doesn't even really get talked about, like
not at all.
And for how common it actually is, too, because when you mentioned that to me, I was curious. Then when I researched it a little bit more, it turns out that like 1 in 6 men, and that is just from what they have.
Well, think about us as men, right? Like,
right.
For the most part, if 95% of men can't do that, then
it looks like a good thing.
Exactly. It's like, you're lucky to have that, you know, right. What I mean? Kind of thing.
Right. That doesn't take away from the fact that you're still taking advantage of another person that doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
Right. Who may not.
But I mean, I'm looking at this beautiful 34-year-old or whatever she was, and I'm like, when I was 14, I wasn't checking her body out. Like, I'm going to smash that.
Right.
I was looking at her going, she's pretty.
Right.
Like,
and then I'm trying to think of like how your perception is affected because of that. Like, oh, she's pretty. And then all of a sudden.
I think truly that's a huge reason why I ended up being the way I was and ended up being a male dancer and everything.
Really?
Yeah. Because it was easy for me to put myself in the situations that I did because I was like, whatever, I have this perception of women.
Right. And what would you say that perception was exactly?
Just that, you know, I was in it for just getting off or, you know, maybe dating somebody because I liked them and I, you know, I had a good time with them, but not in any in any normal respectful relationship way.
Right.
But yeah, until I really grew up to a point where I found myself and I, you know, enjoyed time by myself without having to look at women that way.
Yeah.
You know, I was mature enough to find the right person for me. And right. That's when Tanya came along.
So
I'm not going to blame it all on that situation. I just definitely think it affected things.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm like kind of curious of like when that change happened and why it happened, you know, because like that's something that almost sticks with people for almost their entire life. Right.
I took responsibility for everything in my life and went, you know what? Everything was my choice that I've done and it's got me to where I'm at. Just to help myself let everything go that's subconsciously giving me negative feelings.
Yeah.
So that I can attract nothing but positive to move up in life.
That's a really good way to look at it, but it's way easier said than done.
What I did was I thought about, and this is just an exercise that I do, any feeling that I have that's bad, I'll relive that situation over and over and over, and I'll feel it, like fully feel it. Until I don't, and then I just let it go.
So you almost like face it.
Head on, face it.
Instead of like trying to avoid it. That's interesting.
Anything. It can be a grudge that I have with a business deal or whatever. I will face it And you know, sometimes it has to do with talking to that person and just squashing it or whatever, you know, anyone calls it. But just actually feeling the feeling, because the feeling is what, like, for instance, if you felt a certain way towards me.
Yeah.
The energy would be there always, right. And you'd carry that energy. But
right.
If you squashed it with me and you still felt it, for instance, but then you just felt it and really faced it until it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It's almost like facing it so directly that you become, like, desensitized to it.
And that's it. And then that feeling doesn't subconsciously drag you down anymore.
Yeah. That's a really good tip right there, actually.
Yeah, but that's how I handled that situation.
Did you ever end up talking to her about that time, like, years later? Or you just...
I didn't have to.
Okay, so you just did this kind of, like, on your own.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good tip. It's easier said than done, though.
Here's the thing. If you have the negative energy pent up in your body...
That's what I was going to get to.
You know, it's your body and it's your mind both. So it's like, that's going to vibrate through your DNA to a place of...
Yeah, it's affecting you.
Like, and it always will until you let it go. Same thing with, you know, a, like, breakup or
yeah,
whatever, right?
One thing that my dad would tell me is whenever you go through things in life and you don't get the outcome that you want and you have, like, this resentment towards it, if there's nothing you could do about it, you got two choices. You're either going to accept or suffer and accept anyway, right? So you're going to have to
accept. It's going to be there anyway. Exactly.
You're going to have to accept regardless.
Yeah, or if you bury it, it's still going to, it'll arise at some point.
Right. But facing it, like you're talking about, you're not doing that for them. You're doing it for yourself so you can move on. Right.
That's
no matter who that person is.
You can call it selfish, but
that's the way I would look at it too. Like, yep. Even like the last person that, you know, broke my heart. It's so hard to get over that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the only time that I found myself actually, like, really getting over it is, like, almost justifying it for her, trying to find every reason why it was the right thing to happen or whatever. Not saying that this way of thinking applies to everything, but in that particular case, it's like, okay, yeah, that's what was best for her. That's what makes sense for her. Now,
when you look back at it,
right, and
when your emotions are involved, it's...
Yeah,
I was really there. You,
right.
You were hurting, man.
And
it doesn't have to be forgive, but it's got to be. You just got to let it go yourself.
Yeah, and come to
the feeling.
Facing it helped you do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever talked to anybody about that, like a professional, like a therapist or anything like that?
I haven't. I mean, I shared it with Tanya. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through other traumatic things in my life, like my stomach issues where I almost died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got into a car accident when I was 16 that almost ended my life. So there's honestly, this hip replacement was a doozy too. So when you go through things like that, it's no point in dwelling, you know?
Yeah. What does Tanya think about, like, your entire past? And how, like, obviously I could tell, like, she's super, like, laid back about everything. Ever since I met her, she doesn't worry about
anything.
Yeah,
I've never gotten any backlash on my past from her.
Nothing.
It's, you know, she's, Tanya's a very well-established dancer that's gone on tour, and I'm sure she's had her fun as well.
Right.
You know, but she just accepted me from day one, you know?
And vice versa, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So she never worries about you whatsoever, like...
It's amazing, and it's crazy to me that...
That's crazy to me,
you
too.
You know, I have clients that are beautiful women that I would go to events with, for instance, and it's like, nope, nothing.
Yeah.
You know, if I overdo it, she's not crazy about it, you know. She's not crazy. That's the only thing
I feel like she's more bothered by the fact, like, oh, he's partying or out. Or
if I over-party, then she's like...
That bothers her more than, like, you being around other women, seems like.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, hey, babe, you're going to the top, you know, and I'm here to support you. You don't need to be overdoing it, so.
Yeah.
That's literally the only thing we've ever argued about all these years.
What do you think it is about her that, like, makes her so unfazed?
You know, she's got a really good family, and her dad is, like, genuinely a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, and she's told me this, you know, unless you compare to how my dad is and treats me, it's like, forget about it, you know?
So she wouldn't even, like, take you seriously, in other words.
Yeah,
unless, exactly. So the fact that you do...
Well, yeah, just in a different way, obviously, but...
Right.
Yeah, so, I like to think I treat her well.
So would you say that that helps, like, build that comfortability, that trust? Like, that's what I'm trying to get to, is, like, what makes her trust you so much compared to...
We've had this trust since we met. It's like, you know, she'd leave for jobs early on, or we had the show.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. We had the show here. And
oh, I know. Trust
me. She didn't even come to everyone. She came to me.
But she was always, like, the most supportive person, didn't give a shit. Like,
yeah, about, she brought her friends.
Brought her friends, and was cool. Like, would tell her friends, yeah, go dance with AJ. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what I needed.
Yeah.
I needed someone like that, because otherwise, anybody that deals with an insecure partner, it's chaos. I've dealt with every partner that I've been with besides her has been insecure.
What do you think it is that makes her so not insecure?
Tanya is, she's always got something going on, and she's just, that's her first priority. You know, I'm her life partner, right? So I am a huge priority in her life, but I like the fact that her first priority is her goals and, you know, where she's going in life.
It's so interesting, because, like, that's the number one thing with most relationships is, like, trust issues.
Yeah.
It's like...
Like the people dig into... Well, people dig into the past.
Well, you see it on both sides, like...
You know what? I did it a little bit.
What do you mean?
I started digging into her past. Not really, like, crazy, but I did a little bit. It was because I was going through a what am I going to do with my life kind of thing.
So it kind of... Like, you were feeling a little insecure...
I'll be honest, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't to a crazy extent, but I definitely was.
Well, I think everybody does.
She might have at some point.
I think we all, especially if this is going to be...
There's no way, like, look, Tanya and I, it might appear perfect.
Right.
It's not. It never is.
No.
There's always up and downs, but we've kept our love life great the whole time. That's a huge part.
Yeah. And I also feel like you guys are very open with each other.
Like, stupid open, yeah.
Yeah. Like, the fact that you're telling me she knows this, that, about that whole situation. I mean, you've told her pretty much.
She wants to know. It's weird. She wants to know about my past.
So you just, this is, what's up?
Yeah.
What do you say? Are you just straight up about it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't dig into too many details. It's not...
Right. You don't go into detail, but you tell it straight up. Like, this is...
Yeah.
Kind of what it was like. This is what I would do. This is how I was.
Right.
Which I feel like that's a big, important factor in helping build trust.
Yeah. She, you know, I know that she's accepted me, so it's easy to do.
So you've never felt like any sort of judgment from her?
No.
Or any sort of, like... quote-unquote expectations for you to be a different type of way?
No.
So you just, like, this is...
Well, I mean, like, sometimes I'll get stagnant or she'll get stagnant, and we just push each other.
Gotcha.
That's been the biggest win of our relationship, to keep it fueled and fired.
Yeah.
Loving is the push.
Motivate, help each other become better, and honestly, like, be each other's biggest supporters, best friends,
yep.
Like you were saying earlier. Because this is, like, one thing that I've been kind of drilling into people's head is, like, you want to find a best friend. So, like, one thing that we talked about in the episode that you watched was pursuing friendships and not relationships, so that you can build that sort of dynamic. Because there's no judgment, no expectations, and now you're able to be, like, fully transparent.
Yeah, I think that's the way that a relationship is going to move forward and stay.
Right.
Locked in, but at the same time, like, you know, her or I, we weren't people that were gonna become good friends before we started hooking up. We hooked up the first time we saw each other.
Right. It seems like you guys, neither of you were looking for anything when you guys first met.
Mm-mm.
Right. So it almost took away the intentions or expectations for the other person to be, you know, a perfect girlfriend or a perfect boyfriend.
Right.
So now it's like, I'm not really expecting this to go one way or another. So now the truth all comes out, and then you guys discover, oh, wow, we actually, like, we click genuinely, and I don't feel any sort of...
Yeah, no way about it.
It's similar to me. The only thing that I say to people about that is, like, be careful going that route, because when you do involve sex too early on, then it can start to cloud your judgment about any possible red flags that do kind of pop up.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, like, no relationship is perfect anyways.
Right.
But to play the safe route, most definitely getting to know somebody before the sex.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially if, like, you hold too much. It's because it doesn't sound like when you guys entered, like, hooked up that first time, neither of you were, like, putting too much weight on, you know, the sex. Like, no. Oh, this, now that we've hooked up, it's, you know.
Yeah, like,
we gotta,
like,
try to make some work out of this.
Usually it's the girl that's.
Right, which is totally understandable. You know what I mean? Because people can manipulate to try to get that from you, and then they turn out to be something completely different than who they presented themselves to be.
Manipulation of the guy to the girl is real.
Right.
You're showing your best side.
Yeah. What did you do when you guys first, you invited her over to where you were staying at Vinny's when you were staying, like, what, way back when we were still kind of getting our start in LA.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know. I've always just been confident enough to.
This is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I know this about you, but for, like, the outsider looking in,
yep.
It's fascinating because not a lot of people are like that, where you are so just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, this is me. Yep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And me looking at the situation right now, I feel like that's a big part of why she's able to trust you, because you are that way. And you're just unapologetically who you are. You're not trying.
She's like that.
And it sounds like she was like that too, because neither of you went into it with any sort of expectations,
yep.
or judgment of each other for whatever.
Yeah.
And then you guys were able to just, like, be real with each other.
Yeah.
Feels like that's why you guys were able to call it official, like, so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you guys weren't like that with each other, if you felt like she was hiding something from you, or she wasn't reciprocating that openness, would you have been as eager to
date? No.
Right. A big part of why I say pursue friendships and not relationships is for that mentality that you guys both had meeting each other, like, not having any sort of expectations or judgment, allowing each other.
Yeah, the nervousness to you know,
just be yourself.
Like, I see a lot of my friends do this. It's, they've got to be perfect, and they've got to, you know, show the girl that they're
the
best version
does.
Of themselves, or a fake version of themselves.
That's what everybody does,
of course,
when it comes to dating. And I feel like it's the biggest flaw in quote unquote dating.
Well, you can see it from a mile away, and you're like, that's not going to work.
Yeah, and that's where the trust issues come from.
Right.
Like, when you were dating her and you guys made it official, before then, you weren't necessarily at that place where you're like, I want to find somebody to date.
No.
Not at all.
No.
So then what was it about her that was like, yeah, no.
I was impressed by who she was as a person,
mm-hmm.
and how she went about her business. A lot of those qualities that I have, like, I feel like I have, you know, the confidence just made me like, yeah.
Really attracted to her?
Very, yeah.
So how did you make it official with her?
Do you remember? Yeah, we were just having, like, a movie night, and I could tell she was scared when I started bringing it up, because she went 7 years in LA without dating anyone, which was interesting. You know, she was very protected. She protected her
emotions.
Energy and her emotions and her well-being, because she, you know, was always on these big jobs and everything, and didn't want that to get in the way.
Right. So what did you tell her that made her, like, a little nervous? Like, how did you bring it up?
Well, I actually looked at her and said, like, I'm not going to hurt you. You know, don't worry. And her, like, I could see, like, the puppy eyes. And, you know, I vividly remember she's just scared. But she was just like, okay.
She knew what that meant when you said that.
It's like, don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you. Like, you know,
was that your way of saying that she meant more to you than?
Yeah. I was saying we're going to do this. We're going to do this, aren't we? And she was like, yeah. And I told her I wasn't going to hurt her. And that was it. She just accepted it.
And you held true to that.
Yeah.
Props to you, brother.
Yeah.
You know, because I did notice that about you. After you met her, you've never even been tempted by anything else. Like, you've actually.
Yeah.
Why do you think that that's such a problem for other guys?
I think it's just because they haven't experienced what they wanted, what they've wanted to, you right. know? I don't know what I'd be like if I didn't experience what I, you know, we lived like rock stars. We got to.
But also your mentality changed.
Yeah.
Right after we got done touring and when you hit 30, you said.
Yeah. It didn't happen all at once. I mean, I think the biggest thing was just, I knew if I just went back to the old ways of being single and just hooking up like crazy and, you know, going back to the old me, juggling a bunch of girls, like it was just going to lead me to somebody once again that wasn't good for me.
How can somebody like tell whether or not, like what changed in you for a girl to be able to say he's not like that anymore?
Because it's like, okay, you know what? The sign really comes to how they act around their friends.
Okay, so what is that? What would that look like?
Like, if I truly wanted to still hook up with other girls or I wanted other girls' attention, I would
act different in front of your friends than you would with her.
Yes.
So you'd say, yeah, that's a red flag.
Yeah, definitely. If you ladies see your guy acting around their friends totally different than around you, that's a major red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Major.
And also, I feel like it pay attention to what his priorities are. You know what I mean? Like,
well, any fuckboy wants attention from females.
Right.
Period. End of story. I did.
Right.
And I attracted a way to do it at a very high level.
Right.
You know? Insecure. For instance, I was insecure because I was at a place in my life where I was lost. Mm. Like, maybe she's looking at me like I'm not upgrading like I should be, you know?
It's similar to like one thing that Rome brought up is like a big part of why he used to chase girls all the time is similar to what you're saying. Like, he wasn't secure with himself as a man, so he would seek.
He wanted validation.
Exactly, validation. Okay. He was just always looking for female attention or looking for validation from females, partly to validate himself as a man for what he was lacking as a man.
Got it.
Right. And then
I think I had a little bit of that, maybe in a different way, of just selfishly wanting attention from females. Like, I truly did.
Yeah.
For years, you know, I was modeling, I was bodybuilding, and I was doing it all to get attention from women.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the gym, I'm looking around, who's looking at me?
Right.
You know, I'm obviously Magic Man, I'm on stage, like, what's up?
Right.
Look at my 10-pack, you know.
Yeah, right. But then you just got over it at a certain point. But then that happened at the same time when you were becoming more secure with yourself as a man.
Yeah.
Now that's not the case anymore. You're not looking for any sort of...
No.
What do you think is different now?
Well, I have her.
So you got everything you need in her.
Yeah, but even before I met her, I realized that I was, like, I was putting so much attention towards that... You know, I literally didn't care how much money I made. I didn't care about setting up my future. I was really, like, I did, but what I cared about most was getting attention from females. And
that's what.
And look, I don't blame people. I don't blame guys in their 20s for doing that.
Well, that's how we're programmed to think.
Instinctively.
Yeah. Or like growing up, it's like you're the man.
Well, look, times have changed a little bit, but for the most part, like straight guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our like self-esteem or value as a quote-unquote man is like based on how we can attract,
how we're viewed by women,
and how we're viewed by women. Exactly.
Yep.
If you're highly desired by women, that means you're the fucking man, and if you're not, then you're not the man, or you're some sort of loser or whatever. Yep. You know, when you stop giving a fuck about all that, like, I don't care about your opinion of me,
right?
Because of that,
right?
That's like a life hack right there.
Well, if it goes for anybody, if you've got somebody that understands you for you,
right,
and the real you, and you can be yourself, that's
100%. It's all about being able to like be 100% yourself.
But there's a lot to it. It's, you know, your love life, your family,
yeah,
your friends,
yeah. So would you say like the top priorities is just like, okay, obviously you guys got to have like an attraction to each other.
First and foremost, let's be honest here.
Right. Yeah. That's what catches each other's attention, right? This is like kind of what draws you towards them. There's an attraction there. Then you come to discover that, oh, we have like similar values.
Yep.
You're a hardworking guy on your goals and ambitions. You see that about her. You're attracted to that about her, her confidence, your confidence. I mean, like, if you think about it, you guys are both like very similar in those ways, meaning you guys share those similar values.
Right.
And then you guys get along and like have a trust and openness with each other, loyalty with each other. The trust comes from the loyalty.
Yeah, that, it just goes back and forth.
And it also stems from that openness. That openness stems from...
But it's also not, it's also not judging your partner. Like,
the non-judgment.
There's going to be times where your partner falls and, you know, you should be a part of picking them up. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, if they figure it out themselves, that's really better. Because you see a lot of relationships... You know, the girl babies the guy, or the guy babies the girl too much, and it hurts them. Yeah, and you see that a lot as well.
Yeah, it's like there's a perfect balance. Like, you guys can rely on each other, but you guys don't rely on each other too much.
Well, you're also, you know what I mean? I feel like you're always working on that balance.
Yeah.
You got to be sure that you can, you know, proactively take that balance and work on it as you go through your relationship.
Right.
You know?
And I think that kind of comes from being able to know that. Like, I always, the more we're talking, it kind of feels like it all started with you guys being open with each other, being non-judgmental with each other, which is what made you guys open with each other. There's no expectations, so that made you more open with each other. Now I feel trust with this person.
Yeah, when the trust comes, then, you know, there is a fine line, like, with the expectation, because you should expect some things out of your partner, but...
Right, but when they become your partner.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying, like, in the very beginning, it's like this attitude of, like, hey, I'm not judging and I have no expectations, so that way the other person can be open. So that way you can make an accurate assessment of whether or not we mesh.
Yep.
That's the problem, like, I see with a lot of people is, like, they're afraid to be open because they don't want the other person to not accept whatever it is that is going on with them.
Yeah, I mean, another thing, too, in relationships is, you know, again, I've got a great one, but we don't view everything the same. We just don't. We have so much in common, but, you know, we don't view every single thing the same.
You guys agree to disagree a lot of times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Last night when I was thinking about... you know, what we're going to be talking about on the episode, it always kind of comes back to the fact that it's like kind of crazy to me that like you're about to be getting married soon.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've noticed, especially like for a guy like you who used to have such like a negative perspective on women per se because of, you know, everything that you've been through, and now you're somebody who's about to get married.
Yep.
Right. And one thing I always see online is like guys saying like never get married, you know, like you can't trust these women, this, that, and the other thing. So what do you say to like people who have that outlook on marriages of like,
honestly, it's just where they're at in life. But there's nothing better than having, it's lonely if you don't have somebody, you know, to share your life with.
Right.
Whether it's friends or a relationship, you've got to trust a certain amount of people, you know?
Right.
Like, I value you as a friend out here in LA, where it's Cap City, USA, you know?
Right.
For real.
And then having just a partner.
Yeah.
Like, makes it way...
way better. I mean, looking forward to going home every day, you know? If you find yourself looking forward to going and seeing that person, regardless of what you guys are going through, then it's signs are it's good.
Right.
Give that person a chance, you know. You've got to give people a chance.
Right.
You know, you've got to give some trust.
Yeah.
You know, and especially in that fact of, you know, hey, I don't want to get married. Well, you do, you know.
Deep down.
Women and men, you do. Everybody wants something.
Deep down, I feel like every guy, every person, like, has this instinctual kind of longing to have somebody.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
You watch a chick flick, come on. You're going to act like you don't want that?
Right.
Happy ending? You do.
Caught my ass fucking watching one of the original Spider-Men, where like the love story between like Peter Parker and Mary Jane, I'm just like... damn, that shit is fucking wholesome as shit.
Right.
It's like, damn, it got me romanticizing about wanting that. But the thing is, like, I try to catch myself in those moments just to prevent myself from trying to force it to the point where it's like, okay, now you're trying to make something happen that's not supposed to, like, where it's not really meant to be. Like, let it be organic to where it's like, okay, we actually genuinely fuck with each other.
Yeah, but that changes, like, you know, not to go off topic too much, but mm-hmm. we're always changing. And if we're not changing, that's not good either. So right.
Do you ever like worry about you changing or her changing? What prevents you from worrying about like you're about to go into a lifelong commitment, right? So obviously
looking back on the changes, even if things get a little rocky-ish, it's always turns out better than it was. Mm-hmm. You know, in my situation at least. So, you know, I look forward to the changes.
Right.
You know, getting used to the anxiety of that. It's hard at first, but if you can do that, it's...
Right. What helps you feel comfortable knowing that, like, Tanya is the person that you could go through those changes with?
For one, she's proved it.
Right.
For two, I had the trust in her to do that.
Mm. So
I didn't know. I didn't know, but I was willing to take that ride with her.
So what you're saying is, like, you've been through enough changes already together.
Yes.
To where you know, okay, whatever changes kind of come about in the future, you guys will still be able to, like...
Yeah, we'll get through it. We'll get through it.
How long did it take you to get to that point?
I think it was 1 or 2 months into being official. She got a job to go tour with J Balvin.
Oh, shit.
For 6 months. And she looked at me and was like, I might be leaving tomorrow for 6 months.
Oh, shit.
And my heart dropped and I was like... Dang, I'm like falling for this girl and she's about to leave for 6 months. Terrified me.
Yeah.
You know? And I'll be honest, I wasn't very accepting of it. But I, you know, later that night I was like, you know what? We'll figure it out. Go through with it. She didn't end up getting booked, but
it was a possibility.
It was a possibility, yeah. I mean, in February, she's booked on a huge TV show in Miami for 2 months. And hey, I might go to Miami for a month or two and check it out. I can work remotely, you know?
So you guys have already kind of gotten to the place of like, whatever ends up happening, it will figure out a way to make it work.
Absolutely. And right. I feel like if it was the other way around, she'd definitely do the same. And if it was something that one of us didn't agree with, mm-hmm. I truly feel like, you know, what's an opportunity compared to a lifelong partner that
right.
is everything to me, you know?
Right. You try to find a way to make it work and kind of pick and choose your battles of like, you know,
yeah.
Because there's always going to be some sort of level of sacrifice required in any sort of relationship.
100%. Yeah.
You know, so when you guys started dating each other or started just talking to each other, like in that first 2 month period before you guys like made anything, were you still entertaining anybody else or did you kind of?
Oh, no.
So you were at a place where you didn't even have the desire to entertain anybody else?
No.
Like, yeah, I mean, I know this to be true because I'm like one of your best friends.
Yeah, I was bringing her over. This was the hangout spot.
So, yeah, you had no like, oh, I've got somebody that whose company I enjoy, even though you guys weren't official up until that point. And you didn't even know whether or not you guys were going to be anything official.
I knew. I did. But yeah, you don't really know.
Well, you knew that you liked her enough that to not even need to like look for anything else.
I liked her enough to bring her around my friends right away.
Yeah.
You know, it was, she's fun, bubbly, you know.
Good personality, likable, laid back.
Respects everybody. Yeah. That's a huge thing, you know.
Yeah. So
that's a huge thing. You bring somebody around your friends,
mm-hmm.
see how they act.
Yeah. Some people are very protective about that. They don't want to bring somebody around their friends until they know that.
Tanya actually didn't let me stay at her place for the first month or like 3 weeks to a month. And we hung out at least 3 days a week.
Oh, wow.
Every day from the day we met. Yeah.
What kind of things would you guys do when you guys hung out?
So the first 2 weeks was strictly hooking up
mm-hmm.
over at my place. And then I took her on a date and then I brought her over here after the date, had some drinks. But yeah, we didn't go on a date for about 2-3 weeks.
So you guys got to know each other just by hanging out and hooking up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend that to most people.
we both have the understanding. Like, we both really knew we liked each other even before we met.
Okay, so before you guys even started hooking up, what kind of, like...
She liked who I was, and I liked who she was.
So would you guys talk on the phone, text? You said you were sending voice memos and
stuff? We were doing voice notes back and forth.
Gotcha. How
for
long...
That, for a week. For a week. And then, actually, it was 2 weeks.
Okay.
I was also busy. And then she came over on a Sunday night. And then it was, like, Tuesday, Thursday. I went and watched her dance at a, you know, at a venue downtown. She had a big show.
Okay.
But it was only her coming over to hook up. And honestly, we had a great time. We'd talk a lot. It wasn't just hook up and see you.
Right.
We were texting. I knew that we were really into each other.
You guys clicked.
Time. What's funny was she got out of the Uber. The first time that she saw me, I saw her before. She hadn't seen me. Mm-hmm. And I walked right up to her. And, you know, she had a little buzz on. She was out with her friends. Mm-hmm. And she walks up and smiles. And I just kissed her right there.
Right away, right off the rip.
Just kissed her.
Okay, but that was with the 2 weeks of, like, talking and texting and voice notes and whatnot.
I wasn't planning on it either. I just did it.
Slick little movie, boy toy. Yeah.
And then I asked her on a date. It's funny. I was actually, like, sending her a voice note, and I was like, because, dude, I didn't take girls on dates. I didn't really have to.
Yeah. So
literally,
like,
I just, it was like, what, first time in maybe, I don't know how many years. I can't even think about it. I'm asking a girl on a date. That's when I knew.
So what was it about her that made you, just the way you guys clicked?
Yeah. I mean, it just really turned me on that she was like a, you know, well-established industry dancer doing these big jobs. She's hot. She's, you know, confident.
She had her things together, and she was like, she had a, it sounds like you guys just like really got along together. You were very comfortable around her.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, yeah, this is somebody I could be myself around.
Absolutely.
You know, this is somebody I could just completely be who I am.
I mean, you saw, I brought her around and I didn't act a slight bit different. It was just like, I mean, you guys all became friends with her. Especially you. You guys have a great relationship.
Yeah, no, every time I see her, she's, Miles!
You guys are homies, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing about her. She just got a very genuine energy about her.
Right.
She's very genuine. She's very authentic. She's very, like, obviously, like, likable, like you said, and kind and sweet. And, like, you know, you can't help but, like, just, like... I fuck with you. You know what I mean? Like,
even if she's being a little bitchy, she just smiles at it, and it's like, okay, fucking, you know.
When she's not necessarily 100% like kind of happy with whatever's going on, she'll have.
No, she'll just leave.
And then she'll address it with
she'll
you.
She'll just say, hey, my Uber's on its way. I'm out of here.
And
I'm
then like, she never brought the drama like in front of anybody else. It was always you guys will handle it in private. Even if I could tell that she was like upset about something and I was like, is AJ in trouble? Like, she'd be like, no, don't worry about it. She would never like say anything to me about it. She'd always just keep it between you and her.
That's something that we both do. If we have issues with each other, we never, I might have come to you with a, see?
I'm trying to think of anything that you've ever came to me about.
Like, it is important to have someone there to talk to once in a while, but word of advice is handle it between you two.
Depends on the severity of it. It depends on how serious it is.
Exactly.
Obviously, there's situations where if it's, like, bad, it's bad, and you need to...
You need a little support.
So then you guys were together for how many years before you guys, like, got engaged?
Well, we got engaged... May last year, end of May.
So 2.5 years. At what point did you make a decision to yourself that you were gonna, that she was gonna be the one?
At 2 years, about 2 years.
Okay.
I went back and forth in my mind, I don't think so. I just kind of knew.
It was just about like really making that leap.
Yeah.
Did she have any sort of pressure on you? Like, okay, what direction is this going? Can I expect a ring? Or like, did she talk about marriage at all?
No.
She didn't. Mm-mm. So this was all just something that you decided on your own completely.
Yeah, but we started having the conversation about it. It was probably the holidays last year. We started to talk about getting engaged and, you know, her visa's running out. You know, she's going to have to get another one. And I'm like, no, I think we're going to, this year we're going to do it.
So that would be.
There was no pressure from that. I wanted to do this.
So yeah. It was like about 18 months in that you guys started to even talk about it.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm just trying to figure out this whole timeline.
I mean, we always were like, how crazy is it that we're still doing this? Like,
yeah.
Just because of the way we both are.
You know? Right. And it so seems like it wasn't even something that she was like worried about at all.
No.
She didn't have any like set hopes on like you guys be ending up getting married or her being married. Did she?
No.
She just was like cool with whatever way it went.
I think she was one of those girls that were like, I'm never getting married.
Oh, really?
I think she was. Think about it. She literally didn't date anybody since 2012, I believe. Like that's.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So she didn't have any sort of expectations or pressure. She was just kind of like, whatever, we're just going to be together. And if something comes out of it, great. If not, then that's so bizarre to me. That's crazy. Because most of that goes against. I mean, I can see why it worked.
Yeah.
But it's like everybody like listening to this right now is like, oh, shit, no. But I do have like I don't want to be wasting my time. Whereas she doesn't see. She didn't even look at it like that at all. Like she was just enjoying.
Well, I'm sure.
As it came.
I'm sure she weighed the options of like I'm sharing my energy with this person. I'm giving my time to this person when I really don't have that much.
Right.
You know.
But you were always somebody that it was easy to do that with because. You guys got along so well.
Yeah, I mean, when we met, she was much busier than myself. And, you know, I was wanting to see her. And she made time when she had open time. And I was like, it's all I need to see.
That's fucking fascinating, bro.
I just feel like it's just... It was supposed to happen. I was supposed to meet her. I feel like I was finally focused on what I did want in a partner instead of thinking about what I didn't want. And attracting the same roundabout circle, you know, because, you know, if you're thinking about, oh, this, I don't want a girl that does this, this, and this, usually what happens.
So funny how that works. So strange to me. But I think the biggest thing that I'm noticing about your guys' relationship and how it all came together and has now like cultivated into this thing where you guys are gonna be getting married is like nothing was forced. It doesn't seem like
no
at all.
Mm-mm.
And
definitely not. Yeah.
What would you like attribute that to?
Both of us just being so direct,
transparent,
direct, open,
unapologetically you, authentic.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, not easy to do.
Right.
It's not. A lot of times I would sit there and say, you know, ask myself, should I act this way? Should I? She, funny story, she actually acted outrageous at certain points to see how I would act.
Really? She told you this?
Yeah. Like, I'm really going to act like myself overwhelmingly to see how you respond.
Ah, and how did you respond?
You know me. I'm just like, okay.
That's cool. A good little trick though.
It is.
It's like, okay, instead of trying to be reserved and try to be, like go the
you should,
opposite.
You should probably just have her on the podcast.
Exaggerate she'll it. I'm get, sure we'll
she'll
get,
give she'll give these girls some tricks.
I'm sure we'll get asked about having her on because now that Rome has talked so much about his now wife, people are begging to have her on. I'm like, hey, whenever it makes sense for her and them, or if that's what they want to do, I'm not trying to like get.
I would rather have her on without me, just so she can.
Hey, we could. I mean, me and her got a great vibe. I'm sure it'd be a fun episode. If it's something that the fans want to see, the listeners want to.
Might be funny.
That would be
funny. I would love to hear her side of the story.
I'm sure it's going to be like, I don't know what she was talking about with you, Miles. That is not how it went down. It was actually completely opposite, or this, that, and the other.
Well, look, you're talking about a lot of time and a lot of situations. So
yeah.
I'm sure she's got certain things that stick out to her as well.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun. Maybe we'll do that. We'll see. But shit, man, fucking, I'm happy for you, bro. That shit is crazy.
Thanks, brother.
I've watched this man evolve from the boy toy Troy to now he's the man with the plan. Yep. Straight up.
We're growing up, man.
Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time that we got. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Appreciate y'all being here. Appreciate you, AJ. I keep wanting to call you Troy.
Hey, it's all good, man. Thanks for having me.
Also, do me a big favor. Hit that subscribe button one time for me if you haven't yet, because we're going to be bringing out a lot of different guests this year. Rome's going to be back. Don't worry about Rome. He's going to be back as soon as fucking Todd Perry's done with his ass. Motherfucker, that guy, he got him filming all kinds of shit over there. And if you guys do want to see the wifey come on.
Hey.
Comment down below.
I wouldn't mind coming back on again. This has been fun.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was great having you back, dude.
I was intrigued, man. I was very intrigued.
Yeah, so when you asked me...
You're doing some things for people, so...
Hey, man, that's the only thing we could hope for is, like, that's what keeps me motivated. That's what keeps us motivated to keep doing what we're doing. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all so much for tuning in. Thank y'all so much for being here. And we will see you next time. Peace.